name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Among the saints, Saint Nicholas of Myra in Lycia holds a special place and has held a special place ever since his time. When he lived in the 4th century, from a time before the legalization of the Christian faith, until well into the 4th century, he was recognized by the people who knew him as a living saint. Not just because he was able to heal, but because his character, the quality of the man, the quality of first the boy, then the priest, and then the bishop, was the quality of Christ and the apostles. He was a courageous man, kind and generous and selfless. He always helped those who were in need and distress. He helped the poor. He gave of himself. He gave of himself. When he was a young boy, his parents grew sick and he went to live with his uncle, who was the bishop of the town that he lived in. His uncle had founded a monastery, and Nicholas became a monk in the monastery. And after his parents died, he took all of the wealth that he had inherited from them, and there was a great deal, and he distributed it to the poor. And so the beginning of what becomes the legend of Saint Nicholas begins in the character of the man, Saint Nicholas. He gave all of his wealth to others, leaving nothing for himself. At a very young age, he was chosen in a way that indicated that he was chosen by God himself to become a bishop. And after not many years, the emperor Diocletian, in the year 303, declared that all must show that they had as their ultimate values the values of the empire. Today, we would recognize those as the values of a secular world, the values of wealth and good fortune and power. In that time, all of those values were represented by pagan gods and the emperor himself. And so the sacrifice that was demanded by the emperor was a sacrifice on behalf of the same values of this world that compete for our love of God. It was no different. And Saint Nicholas refused to sacrifice those few grains of incense on the censer before the image of the emperor, the image of the power of this world. And all of his people refused. And they all were imprisoned. Christians were imprisoned during that time throughout the world. And it was said afterward that there were so many Christians in prison that there wasn't room left for the criminals. Finally, after a decade, 10 years in prison, during which Saint Nicholas taught his people the Christian life and how to live it, they were all in a cell. As a monk, he had begun in a cell, a monastic cell, but now they were all in a cell, a prison cell, and they learned from him firsthand, as he had learned from his uncle, the Christian life. As Saint John the Baptist said, "I must decrease so that he might increase in me." That's how he taught them. And finally, in 313, a new emperor came, the Emperor Constantine, who freed the Christian prisoners throughout the Roman world. And at last, Saint Nicholas and all of his people were able to return to their city of Myra in Lycia. Myra lies at the southwestern corner of Asia Minor, today the country of Turkey. And there, St. Nicholas served as the loving bishop of his people for the next 30 years. There are many legends of St. Nicholas, and all of them are rooted in that Christian character that we spoke of. Probably the most famous one is the one about his saving the three girls who were about to be sold into slavery in payment of their father's debt because their family was so poor. And St. Nicholas goes to the house and in three nights, once for each of the three daughters, he throws a bag of gold over the wall. And nobody knows where it came from. The second night, another bag of gold. Another daughter is saved from slavery. But on the third night, the father hides to try to see where the bag of gold is coming from. And when that bag of gold comes over the wall, the father surprises Nicholas. And St. Nicholas asks him to promise that he will never tell who it was. He tells him that these gifts that are received by this man and his three daughters are the fruit of the prayer of his selfless love for his daughters. They come from God. They don't come from me, he told them. They only come through me. And here is a key to the Christian quality of St. Nicholas. And again, part of something that became part of the legend of St. Nicholas. Myra in Lycia is a seacoast town. And a lot of the stories of St. Nicholas have to do with sailors. A dangerous way to live out on the sea. St. Nicholas would save sailors who were drowning in the sea, and he would tell the sailor, "It is not I who is saving you." Like St. Peter and the apostles, "It is not I, but Christ God, who saves you through me." That is the center of the meaning of St. Nicholas. The center of the meaning of what it is to be a saint. And there is something here too, again, that is connected to the way St. Nicholas became the symbol of someone who came in the night and left gifts, and no one knew where they came from. Parents fulfill that role. There is a key here. As parents, our role is not to be in the forefront of our children's minds and hearts, even though we crave their love in return for the selfish love that we begin with when we first have children. Our selfish love is to be transformed into a selfless love. Many of us have this example of our own parents. I know certainly I do in my case. My parents, materialistic as they always seem to be, when it came to the generous showering of gifts upon their children at Christmas, hid their identity from us as small children. And we kind of think that's silly and maybe not a good thing. But there is something of the original St. Nicholas and the way he gave gifts in that. "These things that I give you as your mother, as your father, they are not my gifts to you. The food, the clothing, the shelter, the toys that I hope will give you a sense of the wonder of things. They come to you through me, but all things are given to us by God. He is the Savior. He is the source of meaning in our lives. He is the ultimate source of the food and the clothing and the shelter and all of the gifts that should instill in us a sense of wonder long after we realize the role that our parents played in our lives." There is something in this of how we are meant to be with others. This way of giving, where we hide ourselves as the means of the gift, and hope that in the heart of the person who receives, the glory will go to God and not to us. In our materialistic society, it is very difficult to remember these lessons that come down to us from the true Saint Nicholas. With all of the materialism around us, but there has always been that materialism around us. It was the same in the 4th century as it is now. And the only thing that made any difference in that time and this time is the selfless giving of ourselves. Not the giving of the things that money can buy, but the giving and not hoping to be acknowledged and recognized as the giver. This is the way God gave to us. This is the way he gave himself on the cross. This is the way the apostles healed those who needed the power of God in their lives. And if we are going to be true parents and the presence of the power of God in the lives of others, this is how we must learn to love, to give, not selfishly, hoping for recognition and acknowledgement, but selflessly. And the more we grow in that kind of spiritual way, Jesus Christ will increase in us, and we will be like Saint Nicholas. We venerate the icon of Saint Nicholas. We venerate him. We venerate the icons of the saints, and we venerate the icon of Christ. But our veneration of icons always passes through to our love of God. In loving them, in loving Saint Nicholas, we love God. For as he said, it wasn't he who saved. He wasn't he who gave these gifts. It was a love that was greater than the selfish love of any human being that gave these gifts. Our love must be greater than just our own love. Our love must become God's love working through us. That is the message, the meaning of the character and the quality of Saint Nicholas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.